Okay, now please, let's open our Bibles to Proverbs chapter 1, once again, to the table of contents of our sonship curriculum, sonship education here in Romans, in Proverbs 1, 2 through 6. And we're actually going to be, once again, resuming in verse 3 when we get ourselves underway, so... Was that? Was that you guys back there? Oh, that's him. Yeah, he's trying something new tonight. Okay. This will be good. That thing will probably fall off your lap and bust all over the floor. Okay. Well, I think everybody's aware of the fact that we've got some closures coming up with my trip to Canada and everything. I had that on the board before class, but it's also out there, so I'll let you... Just once again, kind of orient yourself to that, to the closures and everything that we're going to have. So that's really about all the announcements we've got, and we've got a lot to cover here tonight, so we'll get ourselves underway. Following our customary procedure, the next few moments will be dedicated to silent prayer. You have a few moments in silent prayer to prepare yourself for the study of the Word of God this evening. We're at near the end of our days, most of us are, and so we've had a lot of things happen to us today, and maybe troubles, maybe problems, maybe excitements, maybe many other things that have got into your mind, but now is not the time to really be concentrating on those things. So you have a few moments to just lay aside those things and really begin focusing your attention on the objective at hand. So therefore, in preparation of our service this evening, let us pray. What a privilege it is, Heavenly Father, to every time we bow our heads to be able to address you as our Father, and to know that we have this magnificent dynamic relationship with you as Father to Son and Father to Daughter, that we don't have to be afraid of you, we don't have to be in fear of our lives or any of these types of things that so many other religious aspects get into. And we just are appreciative, Father, always of this magnificent sonship life that you've adopted us into. We just pray as we continue to study these issues that this doctrine will edify us properly, it will be received properly by us, and we'll respond positively to it. And we just pray again for your wisdom, that the eyes of our understanding might be open to that wisdom, that we handle your word honestly and accurately this evening, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, once again, when you are here in Proverbs chapter 1, you're looking at the table of contents, so to speak, for the entire curriculum of the sonship education. It's not the curriculum, but it does give you a scope, as a table of contents does, of what to expect. And once a son is adopted, he is to really already understand some of these things as far as you as a saint in this dispensation of grace having your Bible and having it already in your Bible. So it's information that is already there, and actually our Apostle Paul expects us to know these things when we're told about our position as a son and our being adopted as sons there in Romans 8, 14 and 15. But if not, it's something that we certainly can go back and get an appreciation for, and that's what we've been doing all these many months since we began this. So when we come to this table of contents after David introduces this these proverbs and this style of teaching from an elder to a young man to train that young man to actually go into his business, in this case the business of being king of Israel, he says to know wisdom and instruction, to perceive the words of understanding. And we pass out of that now into phase two of level one, which is to receive the instruction of wisdom, justice, and judgment, and equity. And then you begin your second level in verse 4 to give subtlety to the simple, to the young man knowledge and discretion. A wise man will hear and will increase learning, and a man of understanding shall attain unto wise counsels, to understand a proverb and the interpretation, the words of the wise and their dark sayings. Well, what we've been going over, did somebody fall or something back there? Okay. Well, what we've been going over here is actually looking at just the beginning here in verse 3 of what it means when David tells Solomon here that he's going to receive the instruction of wisdom, justice, judgment, and equity. And really what we're after, once you have come to know wisdom and instruction, perceive the words of understanding, we kind of call that our sonship establishment. There's a lot of attitude adjustments that have to be made there, and a lot of really information that the father has to give the son in order for him to achieve the same level of zeal and enthusiasm and desire, and really make having it the love of his life, just as it is the love of his father's life, to teach him and educate him and bring him into his business and have him impart his heart to his son's heart. Once that gets accomplished thoroughly enough and sufficient enough through that first phase, the son now really gets into the class, cracks his book open, and the actual instruction begins. And that's why it says to receive the instruction of wisdom, justice, and judgment, and equity. And what we've been really focusing our attention upon is what that first phrase means, to receive the instruction of something. And that's very important, and everything in this, every word of this is critical. But that's very, very important so that you really get the impact that that's supposed to make on you now, especially as an empty son that doesn't know this, and one who now has to receive some instruction, and the instruction he's going to get is in those four major areas that he's going to have. And in our last lesson that we were at on Sunday, when we were here last time, we were talking about how that information that's given to you like this, especially when you're talking about an education, which is what we're talking about, and you're being told that you're going to receive instruction, and all of you, I think, rightly. By the way, I just want to say this again. There's a lot of things that I have said over the last few months about this verse and about what it's supposed to do and about many of the things that we've discussed, and I have blurted things out and probably said things out of sequence, and because I just can't keep my mouth shut about things, and I have to just tell the things, and just in the course of explaining things, certain of these things have come out. Whether you're aware of it or not, I don't know, but they have. Now, what I'm going to do is, I'm going to go through this as if I haven't said any of that, just so that I make sure I cover it. But this really is an impact-making issue in a son's heart. When he hears his father tell him that he's now going to instruct him. And we talked about the word instruct on Sunday, how more excellent that is than the word teach, because you don't really even need a person to teach you things, but teaching is really almost strictly used in a sense of a teacher in an academic educational system. This is not all that. This is that plus it's the issue of a father and his love and his desires and his likes and his dislikes. His whole heart is being imparted to his son's heart. And it's really parents are the greatest example of instructors to children and instructors to their sons and daughters. So you're now going to receive something. You're not just going to be statically sitting there thinking. All you've done in sonship establishment is really think about things. You're not required to do anything yet. In this level of phase of level one, you are going to be required to do something now. You're going to be required to begin putting these things into operation. There's going to come a place in Romans where you're going to be required to present yourself. You are going to be the one who is going to be required to prove what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Instead of God doing that, your father, he's going to instruct you in wisdom and justice and judgment and equity so you can do that and emulate him and start becoming and actually functioning in this pinnacle of your sanctified position in Christ as the member of the body of Christ that you are. And so the reception of this, the two infinitive is very important to receive it now. This is where the rubber meets the road, and you're actually getting down to the brass tacks, so to speak, of starting to open the textbook, take the notes, do the work, and actually get this thing now underway. And so what we were looking at then at the end of our last lesson was the issue of being instructed in something. And when we talked about that, we talked about instructions being a manual or a set of directions that you would get, and we were kind of following that along because that's very, very important to what we were talking about here. Whenever you take something that you have bought, that like a barbecue grill or something like that, that you don't know how to put it together exactly, so you get the directions and you follow those directions, you should. But what that tells you is that you really have gotten something here that you don't have intuitively. You don't innately know this. And the other side of that coin was that prior to you being instructed in this, you were totally ignorant of that. And in fact, we can illustrate that on the board. I can put that up here. I thought I would anyway. And that's the two things that we looked at. I said there was one other thing that I want to look at as well. But it's really when you're being receiving instruction in something, you're getting information on how to do something you don't naturally know how to do. Not by nature, not by intuition. You have to be instructed in that. You have to be told that, or you would never know about that. And that matches not only with things that happen in Israel's program, or specifically are going to happen with Solomon as a king, because there's a lot of things, even if you're the prince, and you're in line to be king, that you don't know until you get to be king, and things that happen behind closed doors, so to speak. And so the informing of the son of those things and instructing him on that is really the first idea of what it means to receive instruction. You're getting information on how to do something you don't naturally know how to do. The other side of that was that you were totally ignorant of it prior to receiving it. Now, these things might seem like you're splitting hairs, but the Bible always splits hairs. These are all aspects that form what it means to receive the instruction of something. And we talked about that last time as well, and last left off, really, with the issue of the fact that there are some things that you get instructions on, for instance, a bicycle or something like that, that you've seen it before. And you've got a general idea on how it works. So you could probably get it pretty well put together even if you didn't have the instructions or just scan the instructions. You might get a part left over here and there, but probably it will work decently enough. That's instructions that are only helpful. That's basically the rest of the Christian world who view the Bible as a book of help. That it's just a helpful book that gives me encouragement and enlightenment here and there in my life, and you know, it's no big deal if I know it in any detail at all or not. After all, it's almost looked at in most churches as a necessary evil to have to spend any time in the Bible study, that the rest of it is fun and games, cloaked in some kind of, or passed off as some kind of spiritual activity. But the fact of the matter is that the words of your Heavenly Father are so critical, they're not just helpful, they're essential. Because when you've never seen the thing before, When tonight it's almost like that's supposed to make a big impact on your life, because I was talking to somebody just prior to class. Once you've been adopted, especially if you've not been adopted within your own family, which was commonly done in ancient Rome and in Greece, it would not fly today in our politically correct world, but you would look around your family and really, you may have four boys and they're all sorry boys. I mean, they're just rotten kids. They have no sense of responsibility. They are rebellious. They are so far from wanting anything to do. In fact, I worked in almost every job I ever had in my life. In fact, every job I ever had in my life was for a privately owned family business. I never worked in a factory, a huge factory. I always worked for a family, for some family-owned business, whether it was in the lumber yard or whether over here at Graphic or whether it was the one. I do take that back. I guess printing would be the exception to that. But I was working, my first job that I ever had, the real job that I ever had, was in an ice cream plant. That's how I got in this condition. And I made the ice cream. I didn't have a route, and it was only five people. But this guy that owned it had taken it from his dad. And in fact, my uncle, I found out years later, actually worked for Glover's Ice Cream. Back when they froze ice cream in brine vats. I'm so glad that they didn't do that then. We used pure anhydrous ammonia to freeze with. which destroyed my nose. I can't hardly smell anything anymore. We had a terrible ammonia leak there, and that's another story. But we froze with ammonia. And I used to be the guy that would have to go around and find the ammonia leaks. And you find an ammonia leak with a sulfur stick. Now, I don't know if you've ever struck a match and got a whiff of the sulfur and went, whoa, like that. That's what a sulfur stick's made of. And so you light that, and as you take it around the joints of all the pipes, that thing will just start flaring up like crazy when it hits an ammonia leak. And there you found the leak. So now you've got ammonia, which is killing you, and then you got sulfur, which is killing you. Well, the point of all of this is that this man had two boys, and one of the sons absolutely didn't want to have anything to do with that business. He went to Purdue University. He and I were the same age, and we got along really well, but he absolutely hated that place, despised it, didn't want anything to do with it, and he never did. But his other son was really interested in it, and so the whole business fell to him, and he brought him in and trained him and educated him showed him that he kept two books. Which he did. I knew he did. He had books there at the office that he showed the IRS. Then he had his real set of books at home. I worked there for almost 5 years and was never once received a check. I was paid by cash every single week, oftentimes in $1 bills. I never once received a check and never had a stub that showed what was withheld out of my earnings. All I got at the end of the year was a W-2, and I just had to hope that that's what it was. He was cooking the books, and I knew he was. But he brought his son into that business. Hopefully he's not doing that, or that they've never got caught or anything. But the instruction of these things, pardon me? Oh, yeah, we'll have to block all this out. Well, he's dead now, so I don't think it really matters. But I'm just saying that trying to give you some kind of, I guess, horrible illustration about the issue of there's a lot of things that you may even be your father's biological child, but when you're brought into his business aspect, you don't know about. Until he tells you, good or bad, until he tells you about it, you don't know about it. The instruction issue is an issue that I'm getting information from my father that up to this point I was totally ignorant of it prior to me receiving it. And that makes this not just helpful information, but essential information. And at this point, I just want to take what we've been talking about and deal with it in just this initial phrase of verse 3, to receive the instruction of, and by taking that, what we've come now to understand and appreciate about receiving instruction, I want to take it one step further and state it so that you see crystal clear what it means to you when you are told in the table of contents what I'm going to get doctrinally is I'm going to get instruction, I'm going to receive the instruction of a whole bunch of things. And that phrase should make an enormous impact when you see it the way it's intended. And with those four things looming out there in the rest of the verse, wisdom, justice, judgment, and equity. But really, just that one phrase, to see the impact that's supposed to now make on your human spirit. Because when you're now told by your father you're going to receive instruction in some things, some of the very things that make up the way he himself thinks, and how his own heart works, how his inner man functions, and how his thinking actually works, and how it makes up his character. And you're kind of like that kid then, let's just as an illustration, who I'm thinking about me more than anybody, who couldn't draw a stick man to save his life, couldn't sculpt, all he could do was just make the ashtray, you know. That's what we all did with clay. If we had no talent, we either made the ashtray or we just took a glob of clay, slapped it down, stuck our thumb in it, and called it a candlestick or candle holder. But somewhere along the line, he gets interested. He wants to build a model. And so he goes out and he buys a model of 56 Ford pickup truck, which is my favorite pickup truck in the world. The 56 Ford F-100, I think, was the neatest looking, had the rounded windows in it and all this kind of business, but he's never, ever put a model together before. This is the first time he's ever done it. He's never, ever put one together in his life, and so this is the first time he's ever going to do it, and he opens the box up, and the first thing he sees is a couple hundred tiny pieces all stuck together on these plastic parts, and has no idea what's what on it, or what to do first, or what to do last. But laying there on top of it all is this folded up piece of paper called the instructions. And he grabs hold of those instructions, and he takes with that and a little bit of glue, he starts carefully putting the parts together, carefully following the instructions, carefully in the order that they go in, even though he imagines that the wheels ought to go on first, but there's got to be a lot of stuff done before that gets done. He follows those instructions, and with a little glue and paying close attention, those instructions actually transform that sorry little artist into a master craftsman when he finally puts the last piece on the model and he looks at the finished product and he matches that against the real thing, and it's an exact replica of the real thing. Well, you and there's a lot of holes in that illustration, but you know that he's been, if you see that little guy with that model, you know he's been given instructions. You know it because he couldn't have possibly done that without instructions. You see how that makes an impact on somebody? If you were going through and looking in this kid's room and you saw this wonderfully built model up there and everything, you wouldn't come there and say, you know, I'll bet that kid went out there and took some plastic pieces, melted them down, and then just figured this all out on his own. No, you'd be impressed with the fact that little guy can follow instructions. That's exactly, not exactly, but that's in a very minimal way the way the angelic world is going to be impacted when they see you following the instructions of wisdom and justice and judgment and equity. They're looking now at a product. They're looking at something that is now the very image of God. That in that human being's heart, he's now becoming what God ever created him to be in the first place, godly. And that's impressive, because the only way that could ever got done was that son followed those directions precisely. And you're so impressed, not just with the kid's ability to build a model, but you're impressed with his ability to follow the directions. Now, I can't tell you how many times I've heard people make a comment like, I could never have the patience to do that. Yeah. You know that's going to be a big part in all of this? Do you know that in this very section, you're going to be taught something about patience? How that when you view the sufferings of this present time, you're going to, in view of all that your Father's going to do for you and everything, you're going to, with patience, wait for it. Yeah. It's amazing that all of this follows right along, and logically so. And so you have the instructions that the son's been given to follow, and he follows them, and it produces something valuable, and it gives him information that he was innately or naturally ignorant of. But it actually did more than that. And I know it's splitting hairs, and it's just a species of those first two up there, but I want you to be aware of it, because this is really what receiving the instruction of something is supposed to make, the big punch in your inner man that it's supposed to make. What else did those instructions give that young man the ability to do? The kid who never, ever in his life had put a model together, opens up the box, he realizes as soon as he opens the box up, I got a big problem. But then he's got the instructions. And what do they give him the ability and capacity to do? I'm not looking for something specific. I'm looking for something very general. I've actually said it, but as I said, I'm teaching this as if I hadn't said it. Pardon me? The solution, that's real good. By the way, there's not a wrong answer to this. I'll tell you what I'm driving at, but I'm interested to hear your thoughts on it. And I mean very general, but it's I don't care how general it may sound, something very simple and very general can have a huge impact and be very profound.
How
Yeah, that's that too. He's got confidence to do to put it together. He's confident in the instructions. And that's a good one, because that's something that we also will have from being established as a son, to know that, you know, there used to be a model company called Revell. I don't know if it's still around or not. And there was two or three others. I can't remember now offhand some of them. But you would trust certain model makers. And that's really the confidence in the maker of the instructions. He didn't leave one off or get steps out of order. But what I'm after is, remember I said that this young man has never done this before. And what those are all good, and they're all part of this. But what I'm really after is that he's now, for the first time in his life, he's going to be able to do something that he has never, ever done before. And that is that third issue of receiving instruction of something. It's information I don't naturally know. It's information that if I'm not made aware of it, I'm totally ignorant of it prior to receiving it. But when you receive instructions, you're going to now be able to do something that you have never, ever been able to do before in your life. And that's what those four things are going to make you able to do. You're going to be able to now do something that up to this point you've never been able to do before. You have never been able to make the wise, just, judgmental, and equitable decisions, and to have the skills to be able to do that. But this is all laying groundwork for an even greater truth that's going to be coming out here in a moment. Because even though you may say, well, I've made some decisions in my life before that required me to use some wisdom here and there, I grant you. But you've never used wisdom, justice, judgment, and equity. For instance, if you're saying, I've got a measure of that. Okay, well, let's take just wisdom. There's six components to that. Do you know what six they are and where to find them? Maybe you better rethink for a moment. What I'm after is, you're being given information here and receiving instructions of doing something that these things you have not done before, because these are things that are going to involve you functioning in your father's business. And a son up to this point hasn't done that. He's not even aware of what comprises all of his father's. He's just got a general idea of what it's about. He has no understanding of the ins and outs and the scope of it and the intricacies of it and what's going to be involved in it and what's going to be demanded of him. You know, this is something that most Christians never think about. Their whole idea, again, of eternal recess when they die and go to heaven is that there's going to be no demands made on me. I've got a beach somewhere with a cot on it, or with one of those swinging things. A what? Hammock? I've got my heavenly hammock. Right there is a great title for a song, for some song, a heavenly hammock. I've got my heavenly hammock. There's not going to be any demands made on me. And by the way, there's a lot of Christians that when you come along and you say, do you know that you're going to be in a position of responsibility that demands things of you? They don't like it. Well, I don't want to go there. Well, you're stuck, buddy. I'm sorry. Because if you've believed in Christ, you're not going to hell, and there is no purgatory. So you're going, like it or not. There's demands, there's jobs, there's business, there's work to do. It's wonderful. Do you know that God, you can't, I've heard, so, how many times have you heard people in retirement say, retirement's driving me crazy? Yeah, because you're built to work. And work is not bad. Work was something man did before sin ever entered the picture in the Garden of Eden. It was something that he was created in the image of his father, because his father's at work, and so are you. And boy, there's Christians, they don't like the idea. Don't take my heavenly hammock away from me and my heavenly spritzer, or whatever they want to be sipping on, you know, their mint julep or whatever up there. Their goofy idea of what it's going to, there's no demands going to be made on me. Sure there are. And it's now that you've got to get ready for that. And you start receiving instruction in that. And so you have something that you never have ever been able to do before, and now I can. And that is a huge issue for you as a son. To realize that's, by the way, that's why you need instruction. That's why it's not just helpful, it's essential. That information in Romans is essential in the order that it's given to you there. Because when you get to Romans 12 and 13 and 14 and 15 and 16, those last the chapters that make up the book, Paul is going to follow those four major issues in that exact order. And I mean, if you thought there was any kind of unclearness here or a little unclearness here of what's going on, I guarantee you this phase of your sonship life is going to be so undeniable that's exactly what he's doing. That it's going to be so crystal clear that it's even going to help evidence in your thinking or settle your thinking that, yeah, this whole thing is really laid out exactly the way my Father wants it. And so, that's why you view this now not as helpful information, but essential, because you're now going to have to put things together. And that's what you're going to have to do. That's part of the process of learning. It's not difficult. It's not complicated. It's intricate. It's a little it's got complexity to it. But it's easily done. But it does have to be put together. And these things have to be put together in your inner man. And your Father's going to see to it that you have the spirit of adoption. You're going to have the words on the page with none of them missing, all of them accurate, where you can put it all together. And the issue is that you're going to put it together so you can be able to do some things in your life you've never done before in your life. And the first thing the son is going to now do in phase two of level one of his sonship education is to get some information, to receive some instruction for doing some things he's never done before. And at least he's never done them like his father's done them. There's going to be things that you're going to look at in Proverbs or in Romans 12 that you're familiar with. You're familiar with especially verses 1 and 2. You're familiar with the renewing of the mind. We had this whole bill of sale that if you got a maximum amount of doctrine in your soul, that renewed your mind. That didn't renew your mind. It filled it with a lot of data, and some of it good data. But it didn't edify, not the way your father laid out edification. What I'm after is there's going to be concepts you're familiar with that you've heard before, but it's never been put together and done like your father does them. That's what makes this so different from anything else that's out there. And that's the gist of what it means to receive the instruction of whatever. The son's going to have some information given to him, and it's going to teach him how to do some things that without this instruction, you absolutely are not going to be able to do them. At least not to the emulation of your father. You won't be able to. It's like throwing the instructions away with a 500 or 600 piece model and just trying your best at it. You got the pieces. You got the glue. You may be able to glue everything together. But you've got the engine on the hood, and you've got the tires and the windows, and you've got the steering wheel coming out the exhaust pipe, and yeah, you got all the parts there, but it's not even close to resembling the original object. This makes it so that each part is put together properly so that you totally emulate your Heavenly Father. I can't repeat enough how much of an impact that last issue is, that I suddenly am going to realize when I hear to receive the instruction of, leave the rest off, I'm now going to be able to do something I've never done before. That's exciting, especially in terms of emulating my father. And that the first thing out of the box is his wisdom in particular matters. And so We need to see these things then that are listed here. We need to begin to see what those things are that are kind of in our model box here. Now remember that they've been chosen, they've been carefully arranged by the model maker, by the Father himself, who knows all about the entire program and curriculum and who functions in just this same way himself. This is how he functions. The way he thinks is in terms of wisdom, justice, judgment, and equity. And we need to begin looking now at those four words that make up the rest of the information in verse 3. Wisdom, justice, and judgment, and equity. And when you think about these words, I kind of told you last time what I've been telling you all along. There's something that they all have in common. And that's really the next thing we really want to look at, is what is it that they do have in common? One of the things you're all aware of. The other thing I've not told you about. I don't know if I'll get to it tonight or not, but I'm holding that one back. I'll tell you about it, but it's after the first one. So you've got those four components to what you are now going to receive the instruction of. And before going into the details of what wisdom means, what justice means, what's the difference between justice and judgment, and what equity means, and so forth, what each one, especially what they mean in the context they're given here, when you just look at them, and you just look at those four words on the surface, so to speak, or just look at the overall scope of them, what is it that they're giving you the ability to do that you've never done before? I know you know this, but you've never done this before, and I know I've shot my mouth off about it already and biased your thinking on it, but while all four terms are not the same, and I'm not talking about that each one is a shade of meaning of the other, they are different, but they do have valid and essential differences. And I do recognize that. Wisdom, justice, judgment, and equity, they're not the same thing. And they have valid essential differences, but at the same time, they are all four closely related terms. They all have something in common as far as them all being spoken about within the context of this one objective to phase two of level one of sonship edification. And yet you have to think of them as having a commonness to them, that in each one of them, and each separate one and all of them put together, they're going to have, like I said, since you know that it's information that I didn't know naturally, I was ignorant of it till I was made aware of it, and I'm able now going to use this to do something I've never done before. From that alone, you should realize that's going to give me, just like the little word up there in that third one up there, the word able, I'm going to have ability. In other words, these things are going to give me a capacity. They're going to give me the ability to do something, the capacity to do something. And that's given to the Son when he receives the instruction of these things. And what the Son gets out of all of this is the ability, the capacity to do something he's never done before, and that he doesn't have a natural ability to do, or the innate ability to do. And these four things have in common, at least in this context of the objective of verse 3, they do have a common capacity, each one of them, and that an individual acquires when he becomes a possessor of them. And as I've said before, and you answered it on Sunday, what is that capacity? Exactly. The ability he's going to receive from those four components, he's going to be receiving the ability to make godly decisions. Because wisdom, justice, judgment, and equity, whatever else they may be, are all terms that express, in the context of verse 3, the ability to make decisions. And that's a critical issue. The Son is given the capacity of godly decision-making, and he's acquiring the skill of decision-making. And those are incredibly important skills that he's going to have. And these are going to be things that are going to be ever with him. He is not going to leave them here. He's not going to just take them in phase two and then drop them off while he goes on. Everything is going to be built upon these four major capacities. Everything else in his entire sonship life is going to come out of and be based upon his skills in wisdom, justice, judgment, and equity. And that's the way this whole program is built. It's not built to learn one segment of it and then forget it because you're really not going to be interested in that by the time you get into, you know, the advanced aspect of it. All of this is being done with something else in mind. Like I said, your Father's always up to something, which makes the sonship life the most exciting, never boring life that there is. Because no matter what I'm learning, I know I'm learning it because my Father's up to something else. He's teaching me this, and it's really great, and I'm reveling in it, and I'm joying in it, and I'm rejoicing in it, and all of this kind of thing. But in the back of my mind, I'm always knowing He's not teaching me this just for this. It's always for something else. It's leading to something else. And so that's really, and I've, like I said, I've made you aware of that before, and that's not earth-shattering or anything. But there is a second aspect to this that is quite important, and we'll get to that. I think we'll be able to get to that tonight, at least be able to reveal it, and then we'll discuss it next time. But as far as the decision-making skills, you're going to receive instruction for making either wise decisions, just decisions, judgmental decisions, or equitable decisions. And when you kind of boil it all down, you're going to see and you're going to come to acknowledge and hopefully appreciate that really those four areas, wisdom, justice, judgment, and equity, if you were to take all of the decisions you will ever make as a son, all of the areas of decision that you'll ever find yourself in, you might find that there is a place where not every decision I'm ever going to make is going to be one of these four. That I'm going to acknowledge that could happen. That there could be a place where you might not find that any one of these is going to be the kind of decision you're going to make. But what I'm after is because there may be decisions that you make that don't hit on any one of these four areas. But what I'm after is when you boil it all down, and let me tell you why. Just because there's advanced decision-making skill that can come out of all of these. One of you mentioned it. I don't know which one of you. But someone mentioned discernment. Well, discernment is a species that comes out of this. Prudence is another a decision-making skill that's not listed here, but comes out of this. So that's what I'm saying. I'm saying that there's actually advancements to this. And so you might have an area where that it takes something that you haven't really been talked about yet or told about yet, but something that develops out of these four. But what I'm after here is this. What you are going to find is that the vast majority, the vast bulk, and I'm not going to put a percentage on it because you're going to hold me to that, but the vast majority or bulk of the decisions you will ever make will be either a wise one, a just one, a judgmental one, or an equitable one. You're going to spend the majority of the decisions you make in those four categories. Again, I'm saying that caveat because I know that it's going to take skills that develop out of that for some more skillful, more advanced decision-making capability that you will attain to. But out of all the decisions you're ever going to make from now to the day you die, and in fact, from now until you are in your Father's business and forevermore, are going to be one of these four areas. A wise or just or judgmental or equitable decision. Now, I'm sure that some of you, again, were already aware of this, tipped off to this, because like I said, I just couldn't keep my mouth shut about it. But that's an exciting prospect to me. Isn't that what the whole world is after? If you could bottle that and sell it or put it on a CD and go on an infomercial? When it comes to all of the programs like Dr. Phil and all the ones that have kind of counseling and all this kind of thing about it, isn't that what they're all searching for? That the holy grail of all of that thing? Of psychiatry, psychology, psychiatrists? all of that, it boils down to, I mean, whether you're talking about someone like Britney Spears or someone like Roger Clemens. And by the way, my feeling is Clemens innocent until he's proven guilty. I don't really care about it. But what I'm after is all these celebrities, whether it's in the sports field or the entertainment business or anything, and we watch their lives just totally screw up. You may even have family members like that just seem to screw themselves in the ground more times than not, and everything boils down to, man, if they had just chosen differently, they had just made this decision, some of those decisions wind up with horrible consequences, some of them with legal consequences, some of them with addiction-type consequences. Some of them are more benign, but they are still very hurtful or whatever. But isn't this the bulk of what life is making decisions? I mean, you're touching on the nerve center of life. What my father is saying, I'm holding out to you the ability to make decisions like God, like me, like your father. They're not going to be popular. They're not going to be respected all the time. They're not even going to be seen most of the time by the eyes and ears of people around you. But I guarantee you, the ones who do see it, that need to see it, that are going to have the impact made upon them, will see it and will understand it. Just as you would see that model in its finished form and say, "My land, that was done by a 12-year-old kid. He must really be able to follow instructions." Yeah, and an angel looking at you saying, "Look at that! They're going through all of this in their life and all this pressure and everything, and they have godliness in their life. They're following instructions." By the way, that's the way God's word gets vindicated. Now, I just want to make sure that even though you know this, don't let it not become the great and wonderful gift of grace that it is. And don't let it keep you from appreciating the hugeness of all of this and the profound impact it's supposed to make upon your heart. Because the truth of the matter is, it is huge. And this decision-making skill is the one that the world in general is desperately trying to conquer. In fact, it's the main one the Christian world has been struggling to grasp hold of for a really long time. And they're in concert with and in paralleling the world. They're just as much screwed up as the rest of the world. I mean, Freud was able to solve as many problems as some of the stablest stars in the Christian writers today. I mean, with the same kind of outcome, marginal happiness. You know, Freud just relegated everything to bad sex. And the Christian world just relegates everything to, well, you're just bad faith. You know, and they make these simplistic issues out of issues that totally miss the mark. And the end result is the same thing in the non-Christian as in the Christian. Bewilderment, disappointment. Temporary ecstatics that crashes after a short period of time. That's not sonship education. That's why that happens. So it's a huge. In fact, the Christian world is just as frustrated and discontented and unhappy and disappointed, disillusioned, a lot of other dis words with their ability to make godly, proper decisions as anybody else in the religious world or in the world in general. In fact, they're just all as lost as they can be. I don't mean that lost going to hell. I mean that lost sanctification-wise. They're not on this path or following their Father's ways. Well, we're about out of time, and I just wanted to... The real rub of that to, you know, the Shakespearean word, the rub of it is that most Christians who do read the best-selling Christian authors in the Stable of Stars winds up making decisions that what they wind up with is making decisions they imagine are good. And they imagine, because this is my favorite author, best-selling, and they imagine that they're godly, but in reality they wind up being anything but that. They wind up being ungodly. Usually it's some prescription out of the Old Testament. By wrongly handling the Scriptures and dividing it, you wind up trying to live the Sermon on the Mount. And man, if you want to live a frustrated life, live the Sermon on the Mount. It won't be long till you'll never go darken the church door again. You'll get so frustrated with the Christian life because you're doing all that, and then you'll pray the prayer stuck in there. Well, if I ask anything in Jesus' name, He'll do it. And that is a Band-Aid that is that's a bad one to rip off, boy. You know, you ever have your mom rip those off? Because that'll take a scab right with it. That's hurtful, isn't it? These little guys here, man, you guys are lucky. You didn't grow up with methylate. I think I still have somewhere a bottle of methylate. So if your mom and dad want some methylate, maybe I can dig some up. Yeah, boy, that was the cure. I could have had a bone sticking out. Mom would have put methylate on it and said, that'll cure it. Oh, that just makes me go through the ceiling thinking about it. Now, while I have spilled the beans pretty much on everything I've been saying, on the decision-making aspect of the issue of these four components of verse 3, I didn't tell you everything. And that's because there is another just as wonderful and just as impact-making aspect to your receiving the instruction of wisdom, justice, judgment, and equity that I didn't tell you about. And the other thing that we're going to see about these four things that really just put it over the top as to contribute so greatly to our appreciation of all four of them having a commonness about them, having even though they're different, but having this something common in acquiring decision-making skills. The other thing that we're going to see is that wisdom, justice, judgment, and equity aren't just the decision-making skills that are expected in a son's life, although they most certainly are that for sure. But more than that, receiving the instruction of wisdom, think about it. Wisdom, justice, judgment, and equity. Now let's see if you can come up with it. What else do all four of those things have in common when you're talking about this whole context of educating a son? Of course, he's going to be doing things he could never do before. He's going to be making godly decisions. He's going to be making decisions and having skills to make decisions like his father. But what is that driving at? Yeah, producing it where? Right, that's all good. Again, there's not going to be a wrong answer to this. But there is something. Think about where this is sitting in the Bible, what book it's in, and think about in the Bible when these types of terms come up, who they're describing. Especially like wisdom, justice, judgment, equity too, but especially those three. Okay, a judge, a teacher, you're on the bullseye. You're not, what? A king. Every one of these four expressions are four expressions that produce the ability of a king to reign. Or a prince, or a governor, to reign and to administrate in some form of government. Every one of those drives at that issue. And this is sitting in a context of a king teaching his son how to become a king, an administrator, a ruler, a prince, a governor. See, there's always more at foot here. And there's always something more. And we're going to see some of this. That this isn't just a father to a son to emulate his father. But the whole thing is, I want you to administrate in my business. These are the beginning of laying the groundwork to produce the ability of doing. I know you've never done this before. You've never reigned as a king. You've never reigned as a principality, as a power, as a might, as a dominion in the creature in the heavenly places. And there's an aspect of all of those that is going to be utilized by Israel. We'll talk about that on Thursday night, because Israel is the remnant of Israel. What are they going to be doing? How are they going to function? In the kingdom. They're going to be functioning in their Father's kingdom of heaven on this earth. And there's things in the gospel accounts as well as in the book of the Revelation that talk to them about rulership and about authority and about administration and all of those kinds of things. They too, in their epistles of Hebrews through Jude, especially, is going to give them the godly ability to make wise decisions, just and judgmental and equitable decisions. And for you and me, the information God wrote to us, especially Romans 12 and 13, 14, 15, and 16, all that body of information is going to give you skills that you're going to be using here on earth. You're going to be using it with each other. You're going to be using it in personal life. But all the time, you know that this is something that is going to be needful for me to reign as a joint heir with Jesus Christ out in that creature. That's pretty valuable. That's pretty wild. I didn't even click my clicker up here. These are the abilities of a king, prince, or governor that he's got to have. These are essential for him to do his job. Solomon needed all of these to be the king of Israel. Because they weren't just teaching him about David and his heart, they were also teaching him how to administrate properly and how to lead and how to be the wise king that he became for a while. Well, I'm going to stop a little early tonight, but I think that's a good place to stop, because at least I got to the reveal, and I just want to tie some loose ends up about that issue and try to drive that issue home a little bit, and then we're going to start looking at all four of those, and we're going to look at what in the context of the second phase of your first level of sonship education. When you begin receiving the instruction of wisdom, what does that wisdom mean? What does justice mean? How is that different from judgment? And then equity. I love equity, the ability to make equitable decisions. Because there you have to have, that's some skill right there, to be able to know, well, I could do this and it'd be as right as rain. Nobody could ever say it was a wrong decision. But it may not be the equitable one. And that one you have to take in circumstances. That's the one that you're going to use a lot when you start dealing with the weaker brother. Because you're not going to throw a stumbling block in his way where you have the freedom to do something, but you know it would cause him a problem. And so you start making a bit of equitable sonship decision-making skills there. So anyway, we're going to stop there and leave it at that, and we'll pick it up then on Thursday night. With our heads bowed, with our eyes closed, Heavenly Father, we thank you for this magnificent opportunity being held out to us in this phase of our sonship life. We thank you for the awareness of what we are to expect within our own curriculum, and to see that it does a job within each one of us, so that we have this fantastic prospect of being placed into your creature, so that we might be able to be the brain out there, to be able to put your communication to us into effect properly, and emulate your life out in this magnificent creature and creation that you have made, so that it manifests your glory. We pray that as we continue to study these things, that we will see them with the eyes of our understanding being open, that we will realize and appreciate how important this is to each one of us, and that we will be grateful for it to the extent of dedicating ourselves and committing ourselves wholly to it. We just again ask these things that we might be pleasing to you in all ways, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.